Very true words. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So for those of us who feel that we are in really troubled times and there isn't a lot of light perhaps at the end of the tunnel, I think having the feast day today of Mary MacKillop is an opportunity for us to just reassess really how our life is going and how do I value the things in my life that are truly important. Now, some of you will have understood very well or researched or read somewhere along the line St. Mary MacKillop's life story. It's a very typical, in a sense, Australian story. She's the quintessential Australian surviving woman. Her struggles in the beginning of her mission were to do with the church, they were to do with society, and at the end of her life, her struggles were to do with her own health. And that pretty much sums up most of the worries that each of us carry during the course of our own life, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but certainly the church has given us a bit of grief. What do we say? And I've used it before. A Catholic church, hard church to live in, but a great one to die in. We do offer very good funerals. Then we look at society and the struggles that exist with us in society, particularly at the moment, for the necessary management during a pandemic. And I think on the main part, the government's trying its very best and doing quite well. I'm not sure that all people are participating as well as they could, but I do think that opportunities are being created for us to be responsible. In St. Mary's life, the beginning of her struggle started at a time when there was no formal education. Children who were educated would be sent to a teacher, and the teacher would be paid by the family. So if you didn't have that resource, your children weren't educated. And then when St. Mary put on that very simple black dress as a symbol to society that she had something to offer and she was going to try to meet the need of poor children particularly and their lack of education, and she set up her first school in Panola. And interestingly, in the Christian context, her first school was actually a stable. And where was Jesus born? In a stable. And it's probably not by coincidence that when we read the history of Mary MacKillop, that the word stable is actually used. It doesn't use the word inn or any other building reference. It refers to stable. And I like that. I like that as a solid anchor, because in the course of her life and the struggles that she had in her life, particularly with trying to establish the rule for her religious order, that anchor of the simplicity and the poverty of the Christ child through the love and the care of Saint Joseph and Mary, she never ever parted from that. And I also said at the beginning of my homily that one of her struggles, not just with society, but was actually with the church, and particularly the hierarchy of the church. Some of us might feel that we could identify very closely with that, others perhaps not so. The issue for Mary was she was trying to establish the rule for her new religious order, the Sisters of St. Joseph, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And in doing so, she needed the approval, of course, of the local bishop, which was in Adelaide. And there was a tension there that gradually arose. If you want to know basically what her order, the rule of her order is, I commend to you again the second reading, St. Paul writing to the Colossians in your bulletin, second reading for this weekend. That is basically the rule. However, the tension came with the hierarchy of the church when it came to property and the management of the order, the discipline of the order, if you like. And it was the bishop's preference that wherever Mary's sisters were set in their schools and where they had a convent, that they would come under the authority of the local priest. And that translates into the authority of the bishop. And Mary had problems with that. And she eventually took that to Rome, and she spent time over there getting her rule approved. But in the meantime, the Bishop of Adelaide actually excommunicated her, said that she's no longer a practicing member of the Catholic Church. That must have really tested her, because her faith and devotion to her Eucharist and to her love of God, and particularly her poor neighbour, was the only thing that drove her in her life. The bishop did rescind the excommunication in a fairly short time, and I believe it said something like, he was poorly advised. Now, don't be cynical with your laughter. That sometimes happens. However, and then Mary then moved on. She then had a falling out with Father Julian Tennyson Woods, who was the co-founder of the order, in a sense, and was the one that really planted the seed about trying to educate poor children. She then, later on, had a falling out with the sisters themselves, who voted her out of her role of leadership. There's a bit of a pattern coming up here, isn't there? And you want to know how saints are made. Saints are made not by sitting on their knees and with their hands clasped like this. Their saints are made, it seems to me, by perhaps on their knees, but bleeding from the knees sometimes, simply trying to bring Christ, who bled from more than the knees on the cross, simply trying to bring Christ to those in need. It is through the courage, and it is through the battle, that Mary receives her courage. And that's how I believe saints are made. It is through the struggle that one lives out in their life. So if you think about the end of the gospel, don't worry about today, it has enough worries of its own. It certainly does. If we as people of faith can take on the courage of St. Mary MacKillop, then the struggles that exist in our life, as they certainly did in hers, things start to get back into balance and in proportion. When we concentrate on ourself and ourself alone, things get blown way out of whack, as it were, in our head. It is focusing on our love of God and our love of neighbour and being able to do something with that practically that I think changes our perspective and changes our ability to handle the struggle in life. When we disregard the other with the struggles in our life, when we put the focus on ourselves and disregard those around us who struggle, I think then that that's when the grey cloud starts to descend and we lose sight of God's presence in our daily worries. I think that therefore saints are made by firstly being faithful to God, without a doubt, but saints are made when they become truly themselves, not what somebody else wants them to be. When they become truly the individual, the thumbprint, if you like, that God has placed on them. So for us, on our journey to sanctity, whatever route that might be for us, I think we need firstly to truly discover who we are as an individual. And then who we are as a church. We can reflect on how we live that out, but who am I really in the eyes of God? And am I true to my calling, to my vocation, to my creation as the thumbprint of God? In other words, I have been given this life with all its bits and pieces, its ups and downs. What am I doing with it? How productive am I with it? And where is God when I try to live this out in the joys and the sorrows? Every now and then I think for some people we get a glimpse of true holiness. Cardinal Moran visited Mary when she was sick. She had what we would call a stroke, and later in her life, and for the last 7 years of her life, she was basically in a wheelchair, and Cardinal Moran would visit her in North Sydney. And on the day before she died, he visited her, and then he wrote in his words there, he said, "I consider that on this day I have attended the deathbed of a saint." For us, she was only 67. For us, I just wonder what people would say as they attend our deathbed. Is there any glimpse of, it may not be sanctity as we understand it technically, but is there any glimpse in us of love of God and love of neighbour, particularly the poor? Ours is to be a practical faith, certainly a prayerful faith, but ours is to be a practical faith. It is a faith of doing, and once we start doing, we realise all of a sudden that we are being. And I think that's how saints are made, understanding that we are being the creature that God had intended us to be, made in his image and likeness.